Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yup.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah. It feels like it's been a while.
No, it's been the same amount of time as normal.
Yeah. But yeah, I went on a trip and I read comics in a forest.
On the trip? Oh, very, very spooky.
It was very cool. It started raining though, so I didn't get very far.
Did you read comics on a hammock?
No, there was a hammock and books were read on it, but it was not by me.
Oh, dang.
Nor was it a comic, so it's like, psh.
Lame.
I would love to write. Where's your favorite place you've ever read comics? I did it on the beach one time.
Beach is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Probably like a recliner that like has like the armrests in like the perfect kind of spot.
Oh yeah, and so your elbows are in like the position where it's already like eye level.
Yeah, and then your body can like move back a bit.
Okay, yeah.
Pretty insane.
A second good environment.
It's also like
same thing except the couch, a regular couch. And there's a coffee that I picked up, and then my dog Kilala right next to me, but like laying on me. That's happened.
I didn't know ambiance was added to this. Yeah, I thought it was just seats.
Also, it's dawn.
You got a long day of reading ahead.
It's October 30th. It's about to be Christmas. Halloween.
Too much till Christmas. It's almost Christmas.
The temperature is 74 in the house.
Yeah. Windows open. Candle going. Exactly. No lights.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Almost here. Anyway, we got time codes in our description. You can jump around. You can jump to the book, which is The Mask. Right?
Yep.
And then, or Back Matter Matters, or the poll list. But we start with the news.
Correct. Didn't have much reception for like 4 days out of this week. So I have two pieces of news, but I'm going to start anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Daniel, go ahead. The TMNT Shredder's Revenge game has a DLC coming out called Dimension Shell Shock.
It has Usagi Yojimbo in it?
And you could play as Usagi Yojimbo.
Okay, that was news like a month ago.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's out now. Did you tell me that?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember. I saw it and I was like, whoa, cool.
I think that was the first episode that Carter did with us. So when we read Zom 100.
Okay, that's it's when out it was now.
Good to know. Yeah, finally. That game's on like my list. I definitely got it.
It looks fun.
I hear it's incredible.
I also hear that.
Especially for like Switch, it's good.
Okay, this might also be news that we've had before then, but it's just a thing that's available now. But
if
you have Xbox Game Pass, you can read DC Universe Infinite for free for 90 days.
Is that the reading thing, right?
Yeah, that's their reading subscription.
You got to read it on your Xbox?
No, you just sign in with your account and they're like, oh cool, you have Game Pass, so here, read some comics.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I think so too. Xbox Game Pass has been doing some wild collabs, because like
how are they making money?
Dude, I have no idea, because there's been a game that I'm probably gonna play this week called Starfield that came out. It's like Skyrim but in space.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be a pretty big deal. People are liking it so far.
Big game.
Parker paid $100 for it so that he can get it early.
And so, but you just get on Game Pass.
I'll just get on Game Pass for free.
Yeah, I don't understand.
but anyway, I don't know how they're making money, because that's like a huge AAA game, you know.
Maybe they're just really sticking it out for a long time.
But you could also sign in with your Xbox Game Pass account for Valorant, and you can get any agent that you want. And there's like 20 something, and you start off with like 4, and you have to either buy the rest or play the game enough to like unlock them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. Anyway, what news do you have?
A little bit of sad news.
Okay.
Jeff Smith is in cardiac rehab
now. I did see this. Yeah.
Yeah. So
when I read it, they just said rehab and I'm like, okay, what does this mean?
Yeah. I'm glad I looked further. You know, it's like a cardiac rehab.
It would be crazy if he was on drugs.
Yeah. I don't know what happened or anything, but you know, go buy some Jeff Smith books if you want to support things like that.
Go buy Takis. Or whatever his African book was.
I don't know.
Tuki.
Go buy Bone.
Yeah, Bone's pretty good too. You can do that one. Or that weird Shazam one he did.
Yeah.
Tuki, that's what it is.
Tuki? Okay. Yeah. There is, it's like a new, like Batman animated movie. It's called Batman Azteca, Choque de Imperios. And the film follows a young Aztec boy who uses the temple of Xenican, the bat god, as a lair to confront the Spaniard invasion and avenge his father's death.
That sounds sick.
Yeah. And
they're doing an animated movie? I think it's like cartoon.
That's like the concept art.
Whoa.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
That looks like really crazy.
Yeah. I think it's very Aztec. I think it's probably like a Batman Ninja kind of like concept, you know, is, you know, being pretty far removed, but also in like different cultures, you know? Yeah.
Just like Batman, but somewhere else.
Yeah.
And a different time.
So, yeah. I thought that was cool. Yes, this is the film, so.
Interesting. Very cool, very cool.
Nathan.
Yes.
Marvel Comics.
I'm familiar.
They're at it again.
Okay.
They're going to be releasing, it's ready for pre-order, Mandalorian the manga.
Oh, shit.
You know what it covers?
The season?
The first season? Fucking season of, dude, of Mandalorian.
How?
I don't know.
That's so weird.
It's just in manga artwork. They recycled
this? The like, slop. Three times?
Yeah, you're getting sloppy seconds over here.
The sloppy thirds?
Sloppy thirds.
In manga?
Because they had the Mandalorian comic.
Do we know who's drawing it?
I didn't look that far into it.
Because that would be kind of cool.
I was too mad to write it down. It looked very cool.
I've been duped once, but it the art wasn't that cool.
Yeah.
You know?
So sorry now, for whoever. Now you get it, but with no colors.
I would like some colors. I don't know why I thought...
And it's backwards, Aiden.
Ooh, it is backwards. So it's going to spoil it right at the beginning. Like, boom, Baby Yoda, like right at the beginning.
A child?
Oh my God. How's he going to follow up with this? And he just like puts him back.
Yeah.
But like, for some reason in my mind, you said Mandalorian manga. And I just thought like Peach Momoko was doing it immediately. And I was like, okay, that would be kind of cool.
But so no, it is covers,
it's just,
dude.
It's just black and white. And I can't follow up with that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What's next? Mandalorian season 2? I think that's what they're doing in the comics right now.
Probably.
How does that selling? Why would they do this?
Maybe like diehards, you know?
It's not that cool.
Yeah, or maybe people that just don't have Disney Plus but can afford comics.
I cosplayed as him and I don't think that the whole thing is that cool, you know? So it's like, yeah.
You've been in his
shoes. I was angry when I picked up one issue of that comic and it was the same fucking thing I've seen before. So What a weird thing to do.
Yeah. Nathan, you ever heard of Kickstarter?
Yes.
Well, there's a Kickstarter for something called the Massiveverse. Have you ever heard of the Massiveverse?
That is the Radiant Blackverse.
Yeah, it is the universe that connects Radiant Black, Rogue Sun.
Radiant Red?
Inferno Red. Girl
Inferno Red, yeah.
Inferno Girl Red and Dead Lucky.
That's not color.
Huh?
He said Dead Lucky?
Yeah.
I thought it would have been a color.
Nope, no colors. Rogue Damn. Sun's not a color.
Okay.
But anyway, there's a Kickstarter, and one of the awards that you can get, or one of the, what do you call it?
Yeah, the awards, the tiers.
Yeah, the tiers that you can get is that if you pay like enough, they will draw you into every issue of the Massiveverse crossover series.
Every issue.
Every issue.
Whoa, how much?
I didn't look that
Is deep. It a business expense if we do that for marketing purposes?
I think so. Can yeah, put okay. it under advertising.
Okay, but the only way it'll work is if you get the Trade Waiters tattoo on your forehead.
I have to?
Yes, you have to.
Oh, so I can just put a sticker there and send a picture?
Oh, no. They're too smart for that.
Too shiny, yeah. It's just like our link tree. Like. Yeah.
The Spotify code, just like, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I feel like there, a lot of people like the Radiant Black stuff. Yeah. So I feel like a lot of people will, every issue.
Apparently,
even
yeah.
Even if it's like five, you have to like draw a list of people five times.
Right.
In just like so the
a lot
mall
of, a lot
or
of
something.
Crowd
wow.
stuff, I guess.
That's funny.
So.
What a tier.
Yeah, I didn't realize that like property, like. Got that big.
Expanded, yeah.
Yeah, expanded
it
that
got
much?
Like a weird animated short. Do you remember that?
You showed me.
It was like like 2 or 3 minutes, I think. Okay. And it looked like the DC animated universe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like a pretty famous voice actor even voice acted something for it. But yeah.
Nice.
It's cool. I like that, you know, someone can just create something and then have spinoff titles for it and then create a Kickstarter and shit.
So, I like a universe.
Yeah.
But anyway, should we get into the book this week?
Let's do it.
Nathan, we've read The Mask.
The Mask by... Take it away, Daniel.
John Arcudi.
Yes.
And Doug Mankey.
Monkey. He did the art. And so that includes the lines and then some of the colors. And Matt Webb did some other colors. And then lettering is by Pat Brusseau and David Jackson.
Nathan, what do you know Doug Mankey from?
I know Doug Mankey from a thing that he did with Jeff Lemire. It was a Swamp Thing.
Green Hell.
Mm-hmm. And then he did Batman Night Terrors, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I know him from a Batman miniseries that he did with Ed Brubaker. It's called The Man Who Laughs.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like a Joker-centric book.
They're like super, not super old, but like...
Like 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really good book. Him. Yeah.
Wow, that makes sense. Because mm-hmm. he's drawing a guy that has a big smile and he's pretty demented.
He draws a good Joker.
Yeah, that's cool.
So how do you feel about this overall?
This was fucking wild.
This was so this much fun.
This is a lot.
This is exactly what I wanted it to be. I was like hoping it would be based off of like the cover and just like... Just what I was expecting, you know, in a way.
This is a book that you should judge by its cover, because what's on the cover is exactly what you get.
Yeah.
You know, because in like, I felt like I was on drugs reading this.
Yeah, dude.
There's like so
many. I wish
many,
I was on drugs reading this.
That would be crazy. and it wouldn't surprise me. But dude, Doug carries so hard on this book.
Definitely.
Because there's not much really going on.
Yeah. Plot like, wise, it's just like.
Of weight.
Pretty good.
You but know? Everything else is so phenomenal. And interesting to look at and interesting to like study and really break down that it was like super interesting. I didn't watch the movie. Did you watch the movie?
I did watch the movie.
Okay. What is the difference?
They definitely toned down the violence. You know, there's no blood.
Okay.
You know,
in the movie.
Yeah.
Is it PG-13 or PG?
I can't remember.
Okay.
He doesn't like, because in this he can like shapeshift into another person. And then he just like rips the face off to reveal the mask face.
So I have a question about that.
Okay.
His head's pretty fucking big.
Yeah.
So when he shapeshifts and then he takes the skin off, when does his head get big again? Because if he shapeshifts and the person's head is the same.
As soon as he rips it, so it can expand, you know?
Okay, I gotcha. It was PG-13.
Okay. I could see that. Yeah, probably because of the gun violence.
Probably, yeah.
The biggest... thing that I noticed is like whenever Jim Carrey put the mask on, he did this like Tasmanian devil spin thing for like a minute.
You kind of have to.
Yeah. Which is cool, you know, for the transition. Uh-huh. This didn't really have any transition. It was just like,
it's just like, boom, he's there.
Someone put the mask on, boom, next panel. It's the mask.
Well, the first transition is pretty upsetting. It's this one right here.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Because whenever his eyes are red, because he has huge eyes, they're very animated.
Yeah.
But whenever they're red, I fucking hate it. there's one part where he gets like run over or something and his eyes are just fully bloodshot and it looks horrifying.
Yeah.
So anyway, like I think this is great.
Where did the coloring kind of look like markers almost? Like it was like colored in with marker?
Yeah, there's something going on here. I couldn't really put my finger on it, but it also changed between some of the different issues that were here.
Yeah. Maybe it was like the difference between the two colorists.
Yeah, there are two colors. So maybe that's what it was. But yeah, I think coloring plays a really big part in this.
Definitely. The only thing is that, unfortunately, whenever the panels are just smaller, the art does kind of suffer a little bit, which is kind of a bummer. But mm-hmm. once there's like a big like splash page or something, or just like a big panel, then it's like, it looks great.
Yeah.
You know, because it's probably just room to draw or whatever.
It really feels like he like let loose.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a couple splash pages that like, or one of them is like a montage, and that's like one of my favorite pages.
Yeah.
Or there's one that's like a big panel and it's just a close up on someone's face, and just the level of detail that he put into it is very off putting.
Yeah.
So I like that a lot.
I think the covers of this is very upsetting.
Yeah, it is.
like his hands, you know, and his neck and like all the wrinkles and stuff. And like almost like just the cross hatching and shit.
And like the hair.
Yeah.
Or it's not even hair, it's just wrinkles. Gross. Anyway.
So good.
Yeah. It is really good. This is also very interesting to read because the main character changes a couple times.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, what was this?
I think what I was most looking forward to is like what they were able to just take out of this to make that movie, you know? Yeah. And so that was kind of fun.
Yeah. So issue one.
This is the second book of our themed month, Nathan.
Oh, yeah. Themed month of movies that were from comics that people didn't know was from comics.
Yeah.
So The Mask with Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
It seems like people would know that that's from like a comic book, right? Or no?
No.
No,
literally. I would like to like have a poll for people that we know, you know, and like just ask them, because like I don't know, it just like it's just one of those movies that just came out, you know, and like, or like for us it was before we were born, but like,
yeah,
it was just kind of something that was around, and I never really like thought it too deeply about where stuff came from. It was just like, oh, that's a movie that was made.
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
And so people actually just don't think about like, oh, this is a comic at one point.
Actually, while I was on a trip, like I was reading The Mask, someone saw me reading it and they were like, oh, that started as a comic book. So I guess, you know what, you're right.
Okay, so
that did happen to me like this week.
Yeah.
So anyway, issue one, there's this dude named Stan Lee who buys a jewel mask for his girlfriend Catherine, but he's kind of a wimp and he gets beat up by some bikers. He gives the mask thing to his girlfriend and she's like, oh my god, thanks. But then that night he puts on the mask and then he turns into The Mask. But like, this guy doesn't really have a name, you know, they call him Big Head.
Yeah. Big Head. They do say Big Head.
But that's just like the murderer's like name to the public.
Yeah. It, like in the movie, it's like they call him The Mask just because it looks like a guy with a mask on.
Yeah. I like that better, but so he turns into The Mask and then he goes on like a rampage and he kills a bunch of bikers. And then when he doesn't have the mask on, he tends to like get more violent and he kills like more people when he gets like the mask on again. And I think like the whole mask design is so wild, but it like fits perfectly for comics, you know, because mm-hmm. as soon as he has it on, just huge teeth.
I love the teeth.
The teeth are so big.
The bigger, the better.
The bigger, the better. I agree.
it's different.
It's like Spider-Man's eyes, you know, like the bigger, the better. But like when he has big teeth, it's just the more off-putting and you're like, damn, those are some chompers if you really think about it.
Yeah.
And it like brings in this like weird demented design into like a normal world, and I think that works like really well.
Mm-hmm.
And like just the exaggerated expression in his face, either when he's just smiling or when he's like actually like killing people and like having fun and you're looking at his face, very cool.
I like his lettering. It's like unique, you know.
Yeah that's a pretty big identity.
Sometimes it'll be like a little hard to read, but
yeah. But the interesting thing is that when the person wearing the mask changes, the lettering kind of changes slightly, because when Stanley's wearing it, it's kind of hard to like read normally. Mm-hmm. You have to like really figure it out. And there were some where I was looking at it for like 30 seconds and I'm like, what the fuck is he trying to say here? And but then when like the last guy has it on, it's like a lot easier to read. So I don't know if that was like a purposeful decision or if they just got bored with like the lettering and they were like, maybe we should make this normal.
I think it just kind of accentuates whatever personality you have, or
that's what I would like to think. Yeah.
And so like when it's different people wearing, it's kind of, they're going to talk different, you know?
Yeah. One of the kills that he does, he like shoves a muffler in like this dude's face and like he died with like a muffler inside of his skin, and it's very Looney Tunes. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So it's weird because it's like, that's a very cartoony way to die.
They showed up his ass in the movie.
But it's still morbid.
Yeah.
Someone gets killed by a muffler in the movie?
No, he doesn't get killed.
Oh, okay.
Muffler gets shoved up his ass.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Man, much better.
That's canon.
Yeah, but all these like little wrenches that are just all in the dude's head. Yeah, you know?
That's the horror I would expect. And then the next one, the dude's face is a muffler. So it's like,
I think like if you watch the mask like too young, it could probably be a little scarring.
Probably.
But imagine watching it when it's like at like 100%, like the comic, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
It'd be terrifying.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, it would be very scary. they should make a sequel, not Son of the Mask. where the dog wears a mask, but they should make a sequel where it is like rated R. Do you know how crazy that would be?
Yeah, or just like a remake.
Just Jim Carrey again, but rated R this time. So then Catherine throws the mask in the trash and breaks up with Stanley. She kind of noticed that he was being more violent and stuff. That night, Stanley breaks into Catherine's house to get the mask, and Catherine calls the police on like an intruder. She didn't really know it was Stanley yet. But then Stanley puts on the mask and then kills the policeman. And then we're introduced to Lieutenant Kellaway, who is like the main guy on the Big Head Murders case. And so he's there and the mask just like rips through like a bunch of men.
Mm-hmm.
And the action here elevates pretty quick, because at one point he pulls out like a flamethrower and he's just like burning a bunch of people. And there's this like really crazy page where like there's blood splatter on the page. But the blood splatter like goes off the page, which is kind of cool. So like it's like this part right here.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So like he gets really creative with the page, and like the coloring in this whole scene is cool because it's like everything's, you know, all yellow, very informed.
Yeah, they never really show like impact in the movie, like when it comes to like bullets and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But no, the mask like gets like fucking riddled with bullets, and he's got like the entrance wounds and everything, and his blood dripping and stuff.
He's got so many holes.
He's just gonna live, yeah. You know?
And like he like steals a cop car, and when he does, he's like still like healing, I guess, or there's still like a bunch of bullet holes in him.
Yeah.
Very freaky. So Catherine puts together that it's like the mask that's causing Stanley to act crazy. So when Stanley takes off the mask, Catherine like sneakily puts on the mask and she becomes the girl of the mask and then shoots Stanley, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like, you're like, that's the main character dead now. So like, what is this? So then Kathy gives the mask to Lieutenant Kellaway, and she like tells him like, don't put this shit on. And so then Kellaway takes the mask home because he doesn't want to like check it into evidence and explain like what this is. So she does that. What do you think of the lady mask design?
Pretty typical. I think it works since it's just like the one panel, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it
feels very Lady Deadpool in a way, because it's got like the little ponytail thing coming out of the back, and it's like, why is that there?
Yeah. There's a couple jokes that I kind of wanted to go over.
Yeah, let's do it.
So when he's like leaving that like apartment, right, and fleeing from the police, is mm-hmm. back up there,
yeah,
outside, and all these guys with guns, they said fire at will, and he's like, and then they start shooting. He's like, hey, fire at will, not at me.
That's pretty good.
I was like, that's a good one. Yeah,
that's a good joke to rip when you're getting shot at.
Yeah, yeah.
In that specific situation,
I need to remember it when that comes up.
Yeah, when we're about to get gunned down.
Yeah. And I think he kind of has like, speaking of Deadpool, kind of that Deadpool power in certain like adaptations where he just has whatever gun he needs at the time. Very, yeah, very Looney Tunes ish or whatever.
Yeah. I think like the big thing of this book's identity is like it's Looney Tunes, but very violent, you know?
Yeah. Which is fun.
Yeah. And I like that. Oh, when he's still inside the apartment and he like shoots the pile of like policemen with like a bazooka. Right before that happens, there's like the two cops sitting outside in like the cop car, and they're like, I want to go in. You always get to shoot the person or whatever. And then the other person's like, no, I want to go in. And then they see the explosion of the apartment, and they're like, I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
Like together in unison. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah. So Lieutenant Kellaway has the mask now. He's taking it home. And what I really like is as he's like taking it home, it's like dark and it's just like in his car. And I think it's really cool that the mask has like a bright shine to it. Even when like Kellaway is driving alone at night, it kind of gives it a sense of like curiosity, and like it's this like alluring thing, like you're gonna like put it on at some point, which I think was really effective.
Yeah, they do that in the movie. I guess I didn't really notice it in this.
Yeah, so like here's when he's like driving away, it's like very clearly like that's the thing he's focusing on.
Yeah, they have it to where it's like some sort of like shine thing on the inside of the mask to make you be like,
when you're like about to put it on, yeah, it shines on your face.
Like you look at it, yeah, and like starts to shine.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I think it's a good effect. So we see this drug dealer named Rapaz, who is a man that Kellaway is like trying to take down. So we just kind of get introduced to him. Kellaway puts on the mask and he goes to like stop a robbery as the mask. And then the next day, Lieutenant Kellaway is on a call with Kathy and he's like, no, I didn't wear the mask. It's just like right over here. I didn't wear it. And then the district attorney, who's like corrupt, tells the police that they can't lock the drug dealer guy away because there's not enough evidence or whatever. So that makes Lieutenant Kellaway pretty angry.
Yeah.
And this whole like first rampage with Kellaway using the mask is pretty fun. Like it for some reason feels like a bit of a different vibe and a little bit more goofy. Like when he puts it on, and I'm not really sure what it is because it's the exact same design, but he's a little bit more silly at first. He's like hitting his head with a hammer. And I just think it's interesting. Like the way that the personality slightly changes when you have the mask on is kind of cool.
Yeah. Maybe it was more just to like test it out and things like that. And then he realizes that that mask is the big head or whatever.
Yeah.
And what's cool is like when you have this thing on and the way he draws him, he can do basically any facial expression because of how big the mouth is and things like that.
Very big mouth, very big eyes. So there's like a lot of room for him to work with when it comes to like expression.
Definitely.
I like the scene where he shows the people he's trying to kill that he can turn like a balloon into a balloon animal into a Tommy gun.
Yeah.
Like a real Tommy gun.
That was in the movie. It was sick.
Oh, really? Yeah. I like that scene a lot. I was like, that's pretty funny. So Kellaway is still doing like vigilante stuff as the mask at night. And while he's investigating the Big Head murders by day. So it kind of works out for him because he's like the main guy on this Big Head murder stuff. Meanwhile, he is the Big Head. But Rapaz is, you know, killing narcs pretty much by forcing them to overdose, which is crazy. So Kellaway puts on the mask and he disguises himself as a druggie to try and kill Rapaz. But then he gets into a fight with his bodyguard and he eventually just kills them both. But
did you see this panel where Mask is trying to like sneak up on people? He's coming out of like the trash can. He's got a little sign.
I didn't notice that sign, I don't think, but that's pretty funny.
Because he's like kind of like, he breaks the fourth wall every now and then. So he's looking straight at us, telling us to be quiet.
Yeah, he's like, don't tell him. Don't mark. I feel like the way that he kills this dude's bodyguard is like pretty cartoony because there's just like exposed wires from like a telephone pole or like a light pole or something. And he just like sticks it on him and it kills him. So
yeah,
I thought that was pretty fun. And so later it's found out that there was a witness to the Big Head killer killing Rapaz. So Kellaway goes to meet that guy alone as, you know, a cop. But then he brings the mask instead, who scares off the witness, and then Kellaway can like continue cleaning up the city. So when he finds out that there was like a witness, there's like a really cool like close up scene on like his face. And I just think it's interesting that Doug Mankey will like every once in a while pull this shit out where he's super rendered in the face and he's like sweating and stuff and it's very upsetting, you know.
Yeah.
But it works really well. But you know, when he gets away with it, there's like this montage page of the mask, like going around and doing all this stuff. And this is one of my favorite pages.
Ah, so sick.
Yeah. So pretty cool. Tons of great coloring and stuff too. Later on, there's like a mob war that's held at like a restaurant and it has hostages. So Kellaway, as like a normal cop, he like confidently goes in. He's got like a broken arm and shit too. So it seems like he's just going in there to die, but he kills everyone as the mask and then comes out as Kellaway. And he's like a hero because he like saved all these people. But that causes him to get fired by his boss because he's like just out doing vigilante work pretty much, even if he was just, you know, Kellaway, according to the people. Mm-hmm. And there's this like fun scene in there where he like kills two guys because they shoot themselves, like each other, through the mask.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a creative way. And like just the composition of the page is pretty good too, because you see what like the guy, you know, looking at him sees, and then there's a guy that thinks he's getting a jump on him because he sees his head over like some saloon doors.
Yeah.
And then you see them shoot each other and it's very clear what's going on. I thought it was a very fun like panel composition.
Definitely.
So Kellaway is confronted by Kathy for using the mask, and Kellaway's like, all right, you got me, like I am using the mask. And he's like, it's too strong for any one person. So they come up with a system where Kellaway locks away the mask and gives Kathy the only key. So they both have to agree on when to use the mask because it's like too powerful to not use, but too powerful for one person. And this immediately doesn't work because Kellaway just breaks open like the safe thing with an axe to use the mask again. And he catches the corrupt like district attorney person. And I like how he just immediately goes back on like the system that like they've clearly created for some balance.
Right.
Also, he could have just had another key, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. So I don't really know who this guy is, but one of the...
There's like too many characters at this point.
There is a lot of characters.
Because
there's like mob boss people.
There's like a couple mob bosses. There's someone who like handles the evidence and stuff that like takes evidence to help people. And then there's like...
There's like
his partner, then like his chief, and then like the girl, you know, and
then like all the mob people. There's like a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, there's one that like just does the finances for the mob, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's this like big guy. And I think it's a different big guy from Rapaz's big guy because I'm pretty sure he died.
No, I think it's the same one.
Is it the same one? Okay. Maybe he just got electrocuted and survived. But he like smashes this dude's head.
Yeah, dude.
Into like the diner. And it is brutal. Like just this one panel where he's clearly hitting his head a bunch of times, but I love how he condensed that all into one panel, you know, and it's just like, wow, he really went to work there. And, you know, then he gets like arrested or whatever. But I like the violence in this is really good. So after the corrupt DA is turned in, the mask tries convincing the police force to bring back Kellaway as like a lieutenant. He's like, he's a really cool guy. You know, just trust me. But they obviously don't listen, and they all try shooting the mask. And it's, like, ridiculous how many guns they have on them, like, this point. It's, like, that's, like, the Looney Tunes part for, like, the real world there. Because there's some guys that have, like, bazookas and stuff, and they're all just, like, ready to, like, shoot at the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do, and it doesn't do anything, obviously. So then the mask kind of just goes on another rampage, and he almost kills a cop with dynamite. Is that his partner that he almost kills?
I think so.
Okay. Well, he almost kills his partner with dynamite before Kellaway manages to, like, stop himself.
He realizes that, like, the mask is, like, taking over a little bit more than him being in control. So he has to kind of, like, stop himself.
Yeah. And it's that whole scene's pretty interesting because you can see that sort of takeover happen because the mask's eyes get, like, just, like, red straight up. Like, not even bloodshot anymore. And then you could see which part is Kellaway because that's lettered normally. And then when the mask is talking, that's like lettered with like the really scratchy stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really effective way of doing that. But so he manages to stop himself and he like leaves. And then
he like blows himself up with the dynamite because he lights it.
Is that what happens?
And then he walks off to get far away and then he like blows up.
Okay.
So it looks like
he killed himself.
Almost.
Oh, okay. So that people would believe that there's no more Big Head.
Right.
Okay. I didn't catch that, but. But then he just like locks himself away in his basement.
He buries like the mask in like his basement.
Oh, okay, that's what's happening.
See how there's like concrete and a shovel.
I thought he was
and stuff.
Eating concrete, and I was like, why are you doing that? Like that very last panel.
Yeah, I don't know why his hands are like that.
I think he's just freaked out. I don't know, just probably. Some weird body position. But I'm like, why is he eating concrete? Is he trying to kill himself that way?
Yeah,
and that's it. I mean, that's it for this trade. So a very abrupt ending.
Yeah, I mean this one. So this first trade was like 152 pages.
Yeah,
and I feel like we went through that pretty quickly because, like, as far as
plot.
Like the macro plot, there wasn't like a ton to it.
No,
it was just kind of like our favorite parts of these rampages.
Yeah,
and so when there's that many pages for. The few amount of things that we really liked about it, it kind of drags. So you're just kind of happy it's over, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But there is like a lot of dialogue in here.
Yeah.
And I think it's because so many characters get introduced and you don't really need to know them really. There's like really only like five people you should know
mm-hmm.
and probably like 15 characters that get introduced. But again, I think like the most enjoyment of this book is it's like equivalent to like watching like cartoons, you know, like Sunday morning. You're like, you just kind of like want to watch something for like the visuals.
Yeah.
I feel like this book is completely 100% reliant on it having like incredible visuals.
Like, yeah, the only real important thing writing wise is just the concept. And yeah. then like, you know, what he does, obviously.
Yeah. And I wonder how much of that is like just Doug being like, okay, I'm going to have him do this.
Yeah. I didn't look at the back matter. Did you?
Maybe. I did. Yeah.
Was there any like pages?
Nope. Just five covers.
Five covers.
Yeah.
The bastards.
Yep. But, so there was like a reboot of The Mask that I remember reading and I did not like it as much as this. So
yeah, there's something like five different runs.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first three in this omnibus are the
probably like the peak
Arcudian Mankey ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's that one that you looked at. I think like someone we know wrote it.
I think it came out in like 2020 or 2021.
Yeah.
The Mask Returns.
I pledge allegiance to The Mask. Christopher Cantwell.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's a writer.
But yeah, anyway.
So yeah, let's get into some back matter.
Back matter matters.
So not much, to be honest. I don't even know who does these covers because I think it's a different person for each one, unless they're all Doug. But
yeah, and like the signatures aren't that great either.
Yeah,
like to where you can really recognize them.
But they are just clearly variants. There's one with like the Kathy, the Mask, Lady the Mask.
Yeah, okay.
You know, there's one with like a neon sign. And then there's one where he looks like the fucking Hulk.
Yeah, that's dope.
And I don't know why that's there. Maybe somewhere else in this.
He looks more like Abomination or something.
Yeah, maybe somewhere in this compendium he gets like super huge. But I just think that's such a random a random comic cover. He also has like green hair. So it must be like a reference like the Hulk or some shit.
Probably.
Yeah. But that's it. That's pretty much it. So
right.
What would you rate this book, Daniel?
You know, I really wanted to go to Kane's on Monday on Labor Day, but they were closed on Labor Day. Oof. You know, which is great for, you know, the workers there. They deserve a day off.
Sure.
But like I drove there, you know.
So they should be open.
Yeah, I'm like, there's no one in this parking lot. I think they're closed. And so like for the meal I didn't get, probably like a box combo. Extra sauce.
Okay.
Sweet tea. No slaw.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
I think...
you don't normally get a box combo?
It depends on how, like, my body dysmorphia is that day, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So, but most of the time, Kaniac combo, yeah.
Okay. I think I don't... Box is four, right?
Box is four.
Okay,
I think that's what I normally get. It's a perfectly good amount of food.
Yeah, it's a great amount of food.
But
yeah.
I love stuffing my face with like two extra strips, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's always littler strips for some reason. Because of trying to fuck you, Nathan.
Yeah. You had something to say. Give him a break, Daniel. Yeah. I guess he did because it was on Monday.
Yeah.
I would give this like a love it, but it's like really pretty, you know? It's like... Maybe it's like a vanilla, you know, but like the toppings and like the drizzle that you put on it.
Insane.
Gorgeous.
Okay.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And you're like, perfect. Damn, I would really fucking eat this right now.
Like and it's like some new ice cream shop and they're trying to promote on Instagram or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or TikTok.
Okay. Actually, I changed it then.
Okay.
It'll be a love it, but for a rolled ice cream place.
You ever
see them do that?
I've seen ice cream be rolled. Yeah.
Okay, I've been to a rolled ice cream place. It's like not as good, but it's like kind of fun to watch them do it, you know? Yeah. And it looks great.
Sure.
So that's what I would rate this. A nice rolled ice cream.
There's some place around the corner. It's called like Chimney Cakes. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Or Chimney Cones? No. I don't know. It's like these like cones. I don't know if they're made out of like donuts or like churros, but they're these.
Those are very different things.
They're like very, they look, the consistency looks similar.
Okay.
You know, and I think they just put like ice cream in it and like all these crazy toppings and stuff like that.
That sounds good.
It does sound good. We never go though.
Oh, you should go.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Give it a shot.
I'll see if they have funky.
It could be a good ranking.
Yeah. See if they have funky rankings.
Yeah. This is a large chimney cake. but anyway,
it's solid.
As a part of the back matter, you mind if I talk about the movie that you missed?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this came out in 1994. This was the year of Jim Carrey, Nathan.
Okay. Let me tell you what else came out.
He was in two other
Ace Ventura.
Correct.
Dumb and Dumber?
Correct.
Wow.
All in 1994.
And The Mask?
And The Mask. Dude. This guy was on the fucking moon.
He must have been doing drugs to be doing that many movies.
Maybe it was just like the release schedule. Because he was
leading in all of those.
Yeah.
And doing crazy Jim Carrey stuff in all of those.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, that guy was killing it.
Yeah, he was on one.
Killing it. So, in this movie, The Mask was like in the ocean, like in this little chest or something, and some divers like open up the chest and it floats up to sea.
Okay, I mean, that's...
Yeah, just some random thing.
Really know? Do they explain the origin of The Mask at all?
It was in the ocean. Oh, they were saying it was like... It had something to do with like Norse origins. Okay. And potentially like connected to Loki.
Interesting.
Like the Norse god of mischief.
Yeah, because I'm curious if they ever try to explain it in the comic as well.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
Only Jim Carrey would be able to pull this movie off, I think. Because he is like, you know, Stan. And then he also is like the Mask character.
He's Stanley Ipkiss in the movie?
Stanley Ipkiss. Okay. And then also the Mask himself. The Mask, yeah.
It was prosthetics, right? Or was it all...
It was prosthetics, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I would agree with that. There's no one that really has that sort of unhinged nature,
right,
like Jim Carrey. So he was a very good casting for this.
Yeah.
But I think he definitely put his own spin on it as well. And that's probably why he's the only one that could have done it in like this way.
Yeah, it is the flavor of Jim Carrey.
Yeah, yeah. The Mask isn't normally Jim Carrey flavor. Like, it's got some comedy or whatever, but...
As far as like wackiness, you know?
Yeah, it's got like... the comic has like a little bit of wackiness, but it kind of... more leans on the violence, and I think the movie kind of flips that where it's like not as much violence but more wackiness,
right? So I think it still holds like the spirit.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah, definitely. Who's the bad guy?
It's this guy named like Darian or something. He owns this like club, and he's just in the mask is just getting in the way of like all of his stuff. All the things he's trying to do.
Gotcha.
Like, Jim Carrey's got to go out, but he needs some money. So he robs the bank that he works at.
Okay.
But that was like seconds before the bad guys, like goons, was about to rob the bank.
They're like, oh.
So when he escapes with the money, the cops can come and grab his goons. You know what I mean? So it was like a lot of shit like that.
Yeah.
There's this feature that they add to the mask where like, after like one night, he's like done with it. He's like, this is causing too much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He throws out the window.
Mm-hmm.
But it like boomerangs back into his apartment.
Okay.
So <nice. laughs> you can't get rid of it.
That's funny.
There's this great like death scene kind of thing where he gets like shot and he like really overplays it.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever rewatch it, just look for that. It's like the best fucking part. It's hilarious.
I'm going to try and watch Red in The Mask. Just been busy, but yeah, I'll catch up.
Okay. So when we learn about like the history of the mask from this like mask expert or whatever that he finds.
Oh, okay.
Based on TV.
No, thank God.
He's like, if for some reason it doesn't work in front of other people when he tries to put it on, He's like, look, I'll show you. And he just puts it on, nothing, you know?
Okay.
And so the dude just thinks he's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Or maybe it like only works at night or something. I really don't know.
Maybe it has to, he has to be alone so he can do like the Looney Tunes Tasmanian devil thing.
I mean, he does it in front of his dog like all the time.
Yeah, but what's the dog going to do? Report him?
Yeah, it's true.
Does the mask talk to him when he's just the mask?
No.
Okay.
It seems like he's like pretty well aware of like what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The funniest part of this movie is like Calloway or whatever. He's like onto him. He like traps him in like this park. And the mask sees him, tries to run away, but he's like, freeze, and he actually like freezes like ice, like it looks like he was shot by like Mr. Freeze or something.
Oh, that's funny.
And it's
I remember that actually.
And like he's in like midair and it's hilarious. There's this like dog that he has in this, and it's like the most well-trained dog like ever, like
Jim Carrey's dog.
Yeah, like in the movie, because mm-hmm. he's like in jail at one point, and he and his dog like comes to like his cell like because it's like out, it shares like a window with the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dog's able to like just jump up, and then he takes the dog and it like goes out of his cell onto this sleeping cop and like grabs some keys off of his like pocket and then brings him back.
Wow. Good boy.
Yeah. He's a great boy.
I just looked it up and the Mask comic book only came out like 4 years before the movie did.
The 90? Or
it came out in, you said, 94 is when you said the movie came out, right?
Yeah.
The comic came out 89. So
okay.
Like 5 years.
Gotcha. Oh, and then like the dog mask bit was fun. When like the dog like puts on the mask. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that, but I thought that was only the son of the mask.
It might happen in the second one too.
There's definitely a dog that puts it on, I think, in that movie, but
probably. I should rewatch that one.
I can't. I remember more about that one, unfortunately, than the
it was just on more often.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It was like the baby was born because like the dad conceived with the mask on, so the baby like was partially like the mask just all the time. Do you remember
that? Yeah, it was. That's weird.
Because there's like,
maybe that was like Boss Baby, but for our generation.
Kind of. Because like the dad is trying to get like the baby to say dad or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, mother, you know?
Yeah, I do remember that.
I'm like that fucking commercial.
Yeah.
I don't think I remembered it being bad as a kid.
I think it is, though.
Who's
the main guy?
It most definitely is.
From Kicking It Old School, is that him?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know his name.
I don't know his name either.
Have you seen that guy lately?
I don't want to. He didn't look great as a movie star, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh, Jamie Kennedy.
And then it has like Loki is like in it.
Yeah. And yeah, Thor.
Thor? No? I don't think so.
No, Loki is in it.
I remember Loki being in it.
No, I'm thinking of something else. But yeah, Loki is in it. Alan Cumming plays him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
What a wild movie.
Yeah, I hope I don't have to watch it ever. But it would definitely be I would be interested enough, you know?
I should have brought that to the cabin. We were trying to watch shitty movies.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So you went to the shop today.
I did.
What'd you get?
I picked up... Oh, this is the pull list.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Oh,
yeah.
I picked up Big Game.
Are you buying Big Game?
I think two.
Okay. I got.
Whatever's out.
Did I go last week?
I did go last week.
Okay. So you're buying Big Game now?
I subscribe to it.
Oh, you are?
I don't remember doing that. But they ask me every week. So I think what must have happened is I was buying Big Game and I was like, I'll probably read all this. So I just said, put that on my thing or whatever. Mm. So picked up that. Picked up Batman. I picked up
137.
Yeah. I picked up Shazam number 3.
Wow.
Because Mora's on it and you got to pick that up.
Do you know that like World's Finest is going to like episode or like issue like at least 22? Because like
with
Mora.
He had a fill in for one of the issues. So I think that'll happen again.
He?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice.
And then you fucked me up.
Sorry.
I didn't write it down. Because I picked it up right before coming here.
Is it in your bag?
No, it's in my car.
Your comics?
Yeah. So hopefully you don't steal it. Oh, dude. Why am I forgetting? Oh, Kill Your Darlings.
What is that?
It's just like an Image number one thing that got pretty good reviews, I guess. So,
by who?
I couldn't tell you. I flipped through it and I was like, this looks pretty good.
Birds of Prey come out this week?
Yes.
You got that?
No.
What do you mean? It didn't look good to you?
I don't know why I didn't pick it up. I think there was only variants left and I didn't like the variant that I saw. So I was like,
Buy the book.
So yeah. I mean, if it's good, I'll go hunt one down, but
do you want me to get you an A cover if they have one?
I'll just borrow yours if you pick it up.
Okay.
Cause we're doing this now. We're borrowing each other's books. All you borrowed like 100 books from me last couple weeks. I don't know if it's good.
I'll just make sure to buy books you would never buy.
I would love a good Birds of Prey run. And what is it, Kelly Thompson writing it? She's pretty good, right?
Leo Romero. I love that guy.
What does he do? Name 5 of his other books.
I don't know if he's done 5 other books.
Ooh, name 1 of his other books.
I just know him from Twitter, I think.
Big fan.
You don't know anything?
No, I don't know. Okay.
So I got Batman, or I'm going to get Batman, Birds of Prey, and then Godzilla, Here There Be Dragons, number 3.
Is that good?
First one was really good.
Still working on the rest.
Need to read 2. Also, there's a Labor Day sale.
Oh.
And, but not on the things that you subscribe to. But luckily this week, I only had 1 book in my box.
Okay, so nice.
Everything I was grabbing, I got like 10 other books, like floppies.
Nice.
And so those are like all
single issues?
25% off. Yeah.
Nice.
It was just stuff that I've mentioned in past weeks. Mm-hmm. But I got Penguin number one.
Oh, by the Tom King. One?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is that just a one shot or
no? Ongoing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It goes until they cancel it, kind of thing.
Wow.
So at least an arc, I imagine.
It's a sleeper one. I saw it came out, and I'm like, surely it's not Tom King. And then I looked,
it's
and
gotta
it
be
is
a different King.
Yeah. Well, there's a different King that wrote like Convergence, and I'm like, must be that guy.
Wasn't that Tom King?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Who is it?
I'll look it up. All what right. else did you get?
I got. Have you ever heard of Daniel Clowes?
No.
I don't know what you would know that he's written, but I think he's like a writer-artist. I got this book called Patience.
Okay.
I was like in the mood to like get something weird, and I thought this looked like a little weird, but...
Jeff King is the one that did Convergence. Jeff King,
okay.
Whoa, this looks cool.
Yeah, I like the art style. His name's Daniel, so that's a plus.
I guess.
And so... Yeah, I just kind of wanted to get into, like, some indie stuff. I think that's a Fantagraphics book. And
I've seen this.
Yeah?
My comic shop has, like, a center table, and it's got, like, a bunch of trades or, like, hardcovers that come out.
Okay.
And this was on there, and I was like, this looks interesting.
I actually told Drew to order that for me. But
why?
Just because I heard about it. You know, I think it's a time travel book.
It looks very funky.
And a little, like...
Scary?
A little old school looking, like as far as the art style.
Yeah.
But no, I just like heard, I heard about him, and this one seemed the most interesting out of his books.
Okay.
So I asked him to order it, but this was like months ago. But I don't think he remembered that I ordered it. So because he just put it in like the need to read pile. And I've just been looking at it in shame for months.
Wow.
But I got it.
What a love story.
Yeah, I know. So now we're finally together. So I'll let you know how that goes.
Okay.
Did you read anything?
I only read parts of the Distillery anthology.
Okay. I'll read the rest of them and get back to you. Did you nitpick or just the ones at the beginning?
I just nitpicked some because I knew I didn't have a lot of time before we were about to do our next thing.
Okay.
While I was on the trip.
Do you remember anything?
There's a James Tynion and Christian Ward one, and Christian Ward's doing some good stuff on there.
Good.
Some of them are like longer than others. I figured they would all have gotten like 5 pages or whatever.
Yeah.
So that one you don't see a lot except for like just the bare bones concept.
I didn't think it'd be like a prestige format.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. I thought it was just going to be like the regular
magazine size.
Some of them it works really well because there's like a jock one.
Nice.
That I read, and I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is yet. There's a lot of those. The Scott Snyder, Francesco Francavilla one seems pretty interesting because mm-hmm. the concept is just like a classic, like, what the fuck is going on here kind of horror.
So this is just a teaser?
It's like teasers for books that should be coming out later.
Okay, cool.
I think.
I'm glad it's not just like random 8 pagers and then different stuff comes out later.
Yeah, I think all of them say like to be continued in like the White Boat or whatever, which is the Scott Snyder one.
White Boat.
White Boat.
Good, good.
But that one seems like an interesting enough concept because mm-hmm. it's just like a guy who has a boat and he gets stuck in one of the rooms of the boat, but the boat for some reason looks like exactly like one of his rooms at home, like down to like the furniture and like the books on the bookshelf and stuff like that, but he gets like stuck in there, and then I guess I forget what happens, but like some of the rooms change and it like becomes like his childhood home room. And then like one of the people that he knew as a kid was also stuck on the boat or whatever. So it's cool.
So
I'm not doing it justice.
A psychological thriller.
Psychological
in a comic?
Thriller on a boat.
That seems like it could be hard to pull off, but it was Francavilla.
Francavilla is great.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
And then I read the Elsa Chartier one.
What do you know?
There's
her
a Joelle
from?
Jones one that looks pretty good.
Nice.
I haven't read that one yet, but that one looks pretty cool.
I like Joelle Jones.
There's a Kieran McGillen.
Huh?
Jamie McKelvey. Thank you. He like writes and draws one. I haven't read that one yet. So
I think you're thinking of Kieran Gillen.
Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey.
But you were like mixing their names together.
Kieran McGillen. that's my ship name for them.
Oh, dude, new Kieran McGillen book coming out.
Kieran McGillen? that's the only other thing I read, unfortunately. I'm gonna read a lot this week. You just wait.
I was just kind of flirting with some horror books.
Okay.
You know, researching and whatnot for...
Mm-hmm. It's got to be a banger horror month.
I know.
It only happens once a year.
I love banger horror month. I look forward to it. We push out all horror books until this month.
Until this. And so we got to make them good.
And so I'm looking at stuff, looking at lists, you know, trying things out.
Kiss the Zombies 2.
If there was one.
If only.
I read something called Victor Lavelle's Destroyer.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, neither have I. It's a boom book. It's basically just like Frankenstein, but like very action-y, you know? So that one's out. I read one of the DC horror books that is like in like, what is it, Brian Hill or something?
Joe Hill?
Joe Hill.
Yeah. Which one?
It's called The Low, Low Woods.
Is that the one with the whale?
No.
Okay. I didn't like that one, so.
So I read the first issue of that. I heard from a article that was good, but I don't know what I don't know what's going on, but not really in a good way in like the first issue.
Same
with the whale one.
Yeah, I think it was called Basket Full of Heads.
That's a cool name.
Great name. And so I'm like, I'm picking this shit up. And then I read it and I was like, the fuck was that?
I want to say
it's a waste of a good band name.
I want to say that like I saw these when they were coming out, but I really don't remember.
You surely did.
There's a lot out.
There's a lot of them.
Like trades wise.
He's not that good.
Yeah, I know. So it's a bit of a bummer. So I read that one. I gave it a shot. It's just kind of whatever. So probably won't be doing that one. And then I read the first issue of Little Monsters by Jeff Lemire, Dustin Nguyen. That's a really good fucking book.
Yeah.
But not that scary.
No.
So I just read the first issue. I'm like, I love this.
Yeah, this is pretty good. I like the one that plays guitar or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucas? Mm-hmm. I read it today, so I remember. But yeah, so I gave those a shot. I didn't really read any books that I own.
That's fair. You just bought.
I mean, technically, I own Little Monsters, but I downloaded it to read at work.
Yeah.
But yeah. Let's talk about what you watched, Nathan.
So we did a Zia Records run, and we just picked up movies that we thought would be good.
No, you didn't.
Movies that would be fun to watch with other people.
True. That's a very specific category.
I mean, a lot of them I had seen before. It was like a Step Brothers, you know.
Wait, how many movies were at this thing?
We only watched like five.
It's a lot of movies.
It is kind of a lot of movies. It was fun. And then we were just like randomly rewatching like Solar Opposites episodes, and that show's really good.
If you nitpick, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you finish season three?
Yeah, it was four? Okay.
Yeah, right.
I like this season.
I think I just like that there's more.
Yeah. There's episodes from earlier seasons that I like probably more, but I don't think it's not because of like Dan Stevens being Corvo.
It's not Dan Stevens.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
Dan Stevens is the dude from like
Legion.
Legion.
Yeah, it's him.
That's not him. Oh, yeah. Is he the new Corvo?
He's the new Corvo.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. I thought you were thinking of like the other co-creator.
Oh, Justin Roiland and what's his face? Are you talking about the other guy that made Rick and Morty?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name is, but anyway.
Dan Harmon.
Dan Harmon, yeah. No, it's Dan Stevens. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's so weird. Anyway, yeah, so some of the movies I'd watched before. So I hadn't seen Superbad in a while. We watched that. The movie's okay. It's not as funny as I remember it being.
But. Yeah, I think it was more not like laugh out loud jokes, but just the situation's funny.
Yeah, that's true. I would agree with that.
What else did you watch?
We watched Paul.
Good movie.
Really good movie.
Yeah. I think about that all the time.
Dude, it is like everything is there for it to be like, this is like a banger movie. Like, yeah. This is super cool. I think it's just a little bit long, but okay. Like some of the jokes are really funny. They go to like Comic-Con in the beginning.
Nice. He's got an Invincible shirt on. He's got
like multiple Invincible shirts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so fucking cool. And yeah, it's like a really good movie, actually. Like super funny, too.
That deserves a rewatch.
Yeah. It's definitely, if you've seen the movie and you're like, that was okay, rewatch it. Because it's like, it's good.
Especially if you read comics now.
Yeah. Especially if you read comics now. If you're listening to this, you like that movie, I think. We watched The Best Predator.
Dude, let's go.
We forced Ben, who is
so you bought it.
I didn't buy it. No.
Nah.
We bought somebody bought the Predator collection just so that we could watch the Predator. It was a four Predator movie collection, and the Predator was the last
one.
That's
good value.
Yeah. And So we watched it and we made Ben watch it, who hasn't seen it because he knows that it's bad and he doesn't want to watch it. So he hadn't seen it before.
Did he like it?
No. But God, that movie fucking rules.
Dude, so much
if
fun.
If you want to watch a shit movie.
Giant predator, dude.
Giant, big predator.
Predogs?
Predogs, bigger predator. Yeah. And it's so funny because the movie starts off so promising.
Yeah.
Because there's that like fight scene in the forest and you're like, wow, this is crazy. Like he's jumping around, right? And there's at one point where the predator hangs a dude and then the main character guy accidentally shoots him with predator technology. It like hits predator and then slices the dude hanging in half. And then his blood drips on the invisible predator on like the floor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is fucking metal. It's going to go so downhill from here. Like, and it does. Like I was like, as soon as Keegan-Michael Key shows up, it like it goes downhill. And that's what I told him. And yeah, it does, but it's really funny.
And then the kid with the spectrum powers.
Yeah, the autism superpowers.
Yeah.
So this is a real story, but...
The Predator?
No. What I'm about to say. But at one point in the movie, like the scientist lady is like, you know, they say that like experts say that autism is like the next step in human evolution. And... That's like a line that's said. And then like years later, because we saw it in theaters. So like years after we saw it in theaters, Parker was talking about autism, I guess, with his wife, his now wife. And he was just searching in his memory bank for anything they could remember about autism. And he says that line bar for bar.
In like a discussion,
a real discussion.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, he just tells you about it?
He was talking about, no, he told me about that, or his wife told me, because... She like sat on that for a second and she's like, wait, isn't that from like the Predator movie?
Did you just quote Predator?
Did you just quote Predator and use it as like actual science? And so he like thought that was something for real that he read in like an article or something. And he was pulling out some like mad information. Dang. As context for this
Parker's
conversation.
Parker's a gaslighter, dude.
Yeah, he is. Which is so funny. So when that line came up, we were like, oh, Parker, you know what they say. And so that was funny. And then Ben made the connection that the entirety of the movie is so that the predators can give themselves autism.
Okay.
And that is so funny because I never made that connection before. But the reason that the predators are there is so that they can extract DNA from like the best before the planet dies due to global warming. Uh-huh. And so he made the connection, the big predator fan, like, so the predators are trying to give themselves autism. That's what they're trying to do. And I was like, yeah, it is. And then we see the Predator Killer.
The Predator Killer.
At the end.
So sick.
So good.
Yeah. He's like, that's my suit or whatever.
Yeah. The movie's so bad, but it's so funny. It's funny because
Boyd Holbrook fucking went in.
Dude, like, yeah. There's another guy. His name is Nebraska. He's like the black dude in the movie.
From like Moonlight.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, no, he's awesome.
A really good actor.
It's crazy that this is the first thing he did after Moonlight, the Oscar award winning movie.
Is it really? Yikes! Because I thought he was super enjoyable.
Yeah, no, he's awesome.
Yeah. And there's just like so many things that happen.
And his like suicide thing. I was like, no.
This is like the perfect movie to talk about as it's happening.
Yeah,
like,
you can talk during it.
You can talk during it, and it's fine because like the most insane things happen.
Yeah, it's quite a movie.
Like at one point, they're in like the big bus, you know, where they're all being transported. That's where like all of the weird people like meet each other, and then the predators, they're like fighting the predator, and then all of a sudden, all of them just have motorcycles. They like moved to motorcycles and we're like, where did they get the motorcycles? They all had their keys in them. There's like four different motorcycles.
That's hilarious.
It's crazy. Or at one point, one girl's like throws a grenade to play fetch with the Predog. And I'm like, where'd they get a grenade? Or she's looking at DNA in a microscope in Boyd Holbrook's RV. And I'm like, why does he have a microscope to look at DNA?
Just in case.
There's so many things like that that are just fun to make fun of.
Was the kid like Boyd Holbrook's son or something?
The kid was Boyd Holbrook's son. And
I think that kid has like an Oscar too.
That kid's from like Room.
Yeah.
Or Room, not The Room. Room.
Yeah. Not to be confused with The Room.
Yeah, The Room. No. Yeah, he's a great actor too. And I'm like, even like rewatching it, I was like, that's a fucking kid.
Yeah.
So, good movie.
That's funny.
And Bigger Predator is just insane.
I told myself if I found like a The Predator poster at Comic-Con, I would like buy it and frame it. Because I kind of want like...
No one wants that.
I do. Yeah, I know. That's why they didn't have it. Yeah, I know. They only have shit people want. I think it'd be cool to have like just nothing but movie posters going up the stairs up here.
Ooh, and know? The Predator has to be that. Yeah, the best Predator.
It'd be like all
just
the
put it in marker like the and then like best to just write it.
Like just a bunch of movie posters that make people mad, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
I already have Batman versus Superman, you know? Mm-hmm. Shit mm-hmm. like that.
But like Independence Day 2 or something.
Yeah, fucking Jack and Jill.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like all the fun ones.
I watched a movie called The Machine. Have you heard of that?
Yes. Who's in it? Don't tell me. First letter.
B?
Bob. Who's in it?
Burt Kreischer?
Oh, yeah. Okay, the comedy.
Yeah.
With Mark Hamill. And
They actually look surprisingly similar. You know, I'm like I believe that Mark Hamill is his dad for some reason.
Okay. How was it?
It was pretty good. A little ridiculous at times. It was pretty funny, actually. Mm. It just kind of like, lost me like towards the end as far as like it feeling like believable.
Okay.
But you understand like the concept of it. Mm-mm. So in one of his like stand-up specials, he talks about this like real thing that happened where he was like on like a foreign exchange, he's on like a class trip to Russia or whatever. And for some reason they gave like on this trip, like they were traveling with like a Russian gang member to kind of protect them.
No.
And they're on a train and he was just partying with this Russian gang member. And then they like rob the whole train. Like he like the gang member like makes him rob the train.
Okay.
And so that was a real story. And the movies are kind of based off that, where it's just Burt Kreischer. He's Burt in this.
Okay.
And it's where like he goes back to Russia.
School trip?
Yeah. Back when he was younger, he was on a school trip. And that's when that happened.
Oh, okay. Now he goes back to Russia. Got it.
Yeah. And so this movie is like connecting that and it's like flashbacks to it. So you can kind of see what happened or whatever. Yeah. And then it's like he has to go back to Russia because I guess he stole some watch or something on that train from this like Russian gang member or whatever, like a different one. I don't know.
And so sounds confusing.
So people were just, it's not that confusing. I'm bad at explaining.
Yeah, you are.
So yeah, pretty good. So I thought this was a bad movie, Nathan.
Ooh,
because they're in this like building, like it was like one of the dorms he like lived at or whatever for the time being. And this Russian gang member like takes his dog and just throws it out a window.
Oh shit! Okay.
like one of those like lap dog things, like purse dogs or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Like just showing how badass the Russian dog is or the Russian mob is.
Yeah.
And then like they leave that building and the dog's like still running around and like bites like Bert's like ankle. I'm like, whoa. They're on like the third floor, you know?
Was it just like a continuity error or is the dog just fine?
I think the dog was just fine.
Oh, cool.
Just landed right or something. I don't know.
I'm cool with that.
Landed in
save the movie. Lands in a bush.
A cart of pillows just happened to be rocking by or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, not a bad movie.
Cool.
And then we just watched like a lot of Succession.
Good show?
No.
Because you hate everybody?
No, that's what I like about it.
Oh, okay.
You know, because everyone's...
So what don't you like about it?
The hype?
There's a lot of hype. How many seasons? Three?
Four.
Four?
10 episodes each.
And you're on...
Season 2.
Okay.
So the season finale for season 1 was like fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. But like... Was it worth it? I don't know. You know, there's like moments that I like, I guess. But like the way people are talking about it, you know what I mean? Like I have to believe, like normally
people like really talk about something and they're on.
If it's actually unison. Like good.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be typically pretty good. But
and so I'm thinking it's the later seasons.
It must be because I don't think I remember people talking about it like season 1 or 2.
Yeah. Like Sarah's like, I watched like 3 episodes and didn't like it. I'm like. Okay, let me see. And I'm like, okay, I get why you stopped here, you know? And so there's like, we're just watching it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so.
Sure.
Anyway.
I've been watching a lot of Parks and Rec. We're making our way through that.
Nice.
And then I also watched Ahsoka, the first 3 episodes.
I watched the first 2 episodes. Talk about those.
Okay, cool. I feel like she runs weird. Did you catch that?
I wasn't looking that closely.
I just keep looking at the tentacle things on her head and I'm like, surely she can't move that well with it on. And so I'm watching her run and it seems a little bit off. She runs in the 3rd episode. So just like look out for it.
Okay.
It doesn't look bad at all. I just keep looking at it like really hard. And I'm like, how heavy is that thing on her head, on Rosario Dawson's head, you know?
Uh-huh.
But Yeah, so what do you remember? Let's talk about that. Oh, the guy that plays Patrick, he's in this show.
Yeah.
And wait, I'm like, whoa.
He is?
Yeah.
Or the guy who plays Mr. Krabs.
Sorry, the guy that plays Mr. Krabs, not yeah. Patrick. Yeah, the guy that plays Mr. Krabs. And I'm like,
yeah, I was mostly just excited for all the people that were in it.
Yeah, me too.
Did
I was like,
did you recognize the robot?
David Tennant.
Yeah.
And then there's,
I was like, great casting.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead is Hera.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I wouldn't have known that if I didn't look it up, but.
You didn't notice her face?
There's no way you recognize that's Mary Elizabeth Winstead,
1,000%
right?
I did. It's just her face, but green. But what do you mean?
But she looks like just every other bitch that plays the green girl. No. I feel like I'm right.
No, dude.
Because once I saw it, I'm like, that makes sense. But I was looking up to make sure it was David Tennant, and I'm like, Mary Elizabeth fucking Winstead is in this?
No,
and
I knew for a fact.
Oh, really? You didn't know that she was in it before?
I didn't. But then I saw her, I'm like, that's weird. Because she's married to Ewan McGregor.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I think they have a child now.
That seems like there's a big age difference.
There is.
Okay.
Did they meet on Birds of Prey? I don't know.
They were on the movie together.
Yeah.
Cool. I like Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
She's pretty cool. The action, like lightsaber action is not that exciting.
No, I thought the Sith people were real scary in the first one. So that was cool. You know, just them coming in this place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a continuity problem.
Yeah.
So the Sith people in the first episode, they get onto this Imperial ship or whatever, where they're holding somebody. And this Force dude, the Sith guy, he can just open the door using the Force. Like, he unlocked the door.
From the outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe he used the elevator using the Force. I'm like, there's so many situations in the movies to where they needed R2.
This would be sick.
Yeah. To, go woof, woof, or whatever.
Maybe they didn't know yet.
But he was just done.
What era is this in? It's before...
This is after everything.
Okay, after this is like six. Most,
yeah.
After six.
This is, after, Mandalorian Season 3 or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that I understand, too.
And so, I don't know. But that was, an issue for me. And then
sure, that's fair. I think
Ahsoka's on some ship or some planet, and there's four or five of these droids that are trying to stop her from getting the thing.
Oh yeah,
and
the way that she divides them and conquers, the very first episode, right?
Yeah, that was cool. I wish she would just drop down. You know, that made sense. But I'd rather just watch her fight. You know, five people.
She did.
No, three
they
of them
just back up.
Anyway. They self-destruct and blow up this planet, basically.
Yeah,
I'm like, how much fucking C4 is in these bitches?
Dude, they were starting to self-destruct and it took forever, and I'm like, whoever designed this is really bad.
I was like, you're far enough away, you're good.
She ran a mile pretty much, and I was like,
yeah,
it seems like you're in a safe distance. And then she's has to jump on her ship as it's going, and I'm like, what the fuck?
And
it
still kind of fucked with her flight path.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, hold on a second.
It's pretty big.
These things nuclear?
Also, it's kind of weird just in the very, very first scene, just watching her figure out the escape the room. Because we don't really know what's happening. And so it's she's just kind of walking around fucking with stuff.
Yeah, she's
and I'm
turning
this
thing.
I wish I knew what was going to happen so I could see how smart she is to figure it out.
I was doing something else while I was watching it, and it was perfect, you know?
Okay, great.
Because
What a resounding review.
I feel like some shows are just written that way now, to where you don't have to pay that much of attention. You know,
yeah,
you'll live.
This is kind of that show, but there's a lot of Clone Wars references.
Yeah, it's all Clone Wars references.
And so I'm almost happy that Rebels. Sorry, Clone Wars is the no. There's a Clone Wars show, isn't there?
Yeah, there's both.
Okay, Rebels, but she's in Rebels, Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Okay,
because I think Rebels is. Between, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But later. She's older, I think.
Yeah, so they're referencing a bunch of those characters. And I'm kind of glad that I don't know anything about that, because I'm interested in how much I'll still know. Because normally when I'm watching something Star Wars, I know pretty much everything that they want me to know.
Yeah. It's kind of good to see it from a normie perspective.
Yeah. I'm a normal person.
Yeah, because if I'm super fucking confused, I can be mad about it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And then I'll look it up later if I really care, but no. Yeah, so far.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks that Ray Stevenson died.
The Sith guy?
Yeah.
He died for real?
Yeah, in real life.
Oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah, before this year, I think.
Wow.
In May or something.
You're right. That sucks.
Yeah, they said for our friend Ray at the end of the first episode, which was nice.
Oh, I was wondering who that was.
Yeah.
Fuck.
The highest Ray on the cast, I imagine.
I was thinking of just sequel trilogy Ray.
Oh my god, that's spelled differently.
I know, yeah. And so I was very confused. I was going to say something. Oh, I like Sabine Wren. She's pretty cool.
I like her hair.
I like her hair. She cuts it off. Not a big fan. But
I don't,
she's
don't
a
love
Mandalorian.
That has a lightsaber. That's force sensitive and has a lightsaber. That's just like...
That's too many.
That's like you're ripping off like arms of a figure and putting on another one, you know? Or just putting the lightsaber in Boba Fett's hands.
Yeah.
Like, there can be... That's a hat and a hat. That's too many.
Yeah.
And she's got cool hair. It's like...
And she's like still being trained to be like a Jedi. Or she was.
Like, you don't need a jetpack... As like a Jedi, because you can jump super fucking high and
I think Ahsoka would have enjoyed a jetpack while she's running away from a big explosion.
Yeah, probably, but like, it's just gonna look so like the Darksaber like makes sense because they like put that into that lore.
Yeah,
you know, but just to see like a Mando with like a lightsaber is gonna look pretty ridiculous. I think
we'll see.
Yeah, it's whatever. I don't care. Hopefully. I think I'm just sick of Mandalorians right now.
I think I might be too. Because I was looking at design and I'm like, I don't fuck with it.
Because like it hardly means anything anymore. Like,
yeah, it is a bit.
There's hardly any like creed
it is
anymore.
A bit diluted. Yeah.
Yeah, and like there's hardly any rules. It's just kind of you have the gear, the armor.
Yeah.
And so she took her helmet off, clearly. So it's like.
So like how you're not really anything, are you, Sabine Wren? You're not really a Jedi. You're not really force sensitive.
I guess like if you're a Sith and you're one of the ones with like a helmet and whatnot, the helmet can do some shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the same thing, you know, as having like a Mando helmet on.
Yeah.
That can like aim and zoom in and shit.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's whatever.
Did you see the third Sith guy?
The third Sith guy.
He's like in a mask. He looks like...
I think I saw it in a trailer.
He looks like Snake Eyes. He's got one of the spinning ones. The spinning lightsabers.
Nice. He's like a
He's in the third episode. Yeah, he's an Inquisitor. I think they say he's a sister, but it's definitely a he, so I don't know how that works. But he looks cool. There's a theory that I think would be cool, and but probably not going to happen, but if it does, I don't want to like say it.
What's the theory?
Okay, but
so you can look dumb.
Okay, it's going to be wrong.
When this episode comes out, it'll all be disproven.
It probably will be disproven, but if it's right and it spoils it for you, it'll suck. But there's a theory that he's Cal Kestis.
Oh, that'd be sick.
That would be so sick, right? And they get, what's his face? Matthew Connett.
Cameron.
Cameron Connett.
Monahue.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say.
You're on fire today.
I knew some of the syllables.
Or Monahan?
Cameron Monahan.
Yeah. It rhymes kind of.
That would be sick because they could just get him.
Cal Kestis would fucking never. You know?
You're right.
He's like way too diehard.
But what if?
Unless he's trying to like tear him down from the inside kind of thing.
That's some shit he would do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I played a lot of Jedi Survivor.
Great game.
This week. Did you finish?
Nah, did you?
I thought I was, and then I kept playing for like another hour before I stopped.
Yeah.
I fought someone that was very clearly the last one, the last big battle.
Vader?
Do you know that there's a Vader in this game?
Did you fight Vader?
I fought Vader.
Did you beat him?
Yes.
Dude, fucking how? That's why I stopped. I rage quit.
It's
like,
really hard.
It's so hard. You have to like...
It's so great you have to like cinematic wise.
You have to like choreograph it. Like you have to do everything right.
You have to map his moves, which and then, like, I'm pretty familiar with like Dark Souls.
And then
Souls.
They have the cutscenes in between the fight, which are infuriating.
Well, you could skip them.
They're almost like, no, you can't. How?
Hold B.
I'll try that.
But yeah, there's some long ones in there. So yeah, I beat him. Well, I initially thought that Dagon Gera was gonna be the end because it was a really cool fight and I'm like, this is sick.
Yeah, that was fun.
And then I was like, cool, it's gonna end, I'm just gonna go back to the Jedi people and be like, hey, I got to do this thing.
I think Vader was spoiled for me, so I knew he was coming.
I didn't know Vader was in here. So when we were before that, you get shot by Bode or whatever, and I'm and I was like, holy shit, I like did not see that coming.
This
at
is
all
a bigger twist than Vader being his father.
Yeah, I know. And so I'm like, okay, it'll end here. Cliffhanger, new game. Because I think there's supposed to be a new game. I can't remember. And so I'm like, okay. But then you turn into Seer.
And yeah.
And then I thought that it was going to end with like a Halo Reach kind of situation where it's just like you keep fighting until you die. And like that's how the game ends.
Oh, that's
that would
cool.
be sick. That doesn't happen because you just fight everybody and then Darth Vader shows up. And so I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just fight Darth Vader. And so then I beat Darth Vader, and there's more stuff after that.
Nice.
And so I'm like, when is the game going to end? I've done a lot of really cool stuff, but the game hasn't ended yet.
You're like satisfied already, but
I was
it's
like
just
trying
more.
To go to bed, but like I was fighting Dagangera, and I'm like, okay, I could beat this and then go to bed. And then I played for like another hour, and I was like, I really need to go to bed.
All right, it's like 2 a.m. right now. Yeah,
so I could play the game for like 5 minutes and then it'll end, or I could play for like another hour. I have no idea.
Yeah.
So good game. But
not just, predictable at
I
all.
It's not. I don't know when the end game is. Now I'm on another planet.
Is it a new planet?
There's a new planet.
Let's go, dude. I thought there was not enough planets.
And so I was like...
Don't spoil it more.
I won't spoil it more.
Because I literally thought it was just like...
I don't know how big this new... It doesn't look like... I don't know. I won't say anything more, but it doesn't look big.
Sweet.
But I just stopped there as soon as I got...
I now have like inspiration to go play more. You know?
Yeah, go play it. It's fun. I just... I was like... I would have... been cool if it ended with Dagon, because I think he was a really cool character.
Yeah.
And you're fighting him with like no arm, and he's doing like his mind tricks on you. At one point the fucking gravity flips because you're both forcing yourselves onto the ceiling and you're still fighting, and I thought that was really cool. And he's making like clones or mind trick whatever's duplicates of himself.
Cool. And then he like beat him by like shapeshifting himself to look like an old Jedi or whatever.
Yeah, to like High Republic like, girl that he was always with. Yeah.
They look like the one that he killed or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that was fun.
Yeah. Good fight.
Yeah.
I'll let you know if I finish it. I don't know. Maybe I'm only halfway done.
Maybe. Yeah, dude. Maybe it just doesn't end.
Yeah. Maybe it's like the mask and like just the main character changes.
Well, it'd be really cool if somehow like the story just kept on going to where it like led you to do all the side missions and like go to all the mysterious areas, you know?
Yeah,
to where like
I guess
the only way to beat it is to 100% it.
You got
to
save those random people in a cave, you know.
Yeah, you got to fight the Rancor, you know.
Haven't seen Ogdo Bogdo. I don't know where he is.
Really?
Thankfully I've avoided him actually. But
I found him and I got the fuck out of there.
Is he on Kobo?
I think there's one on Kobo. Yeah.
One Ogdo Bogdo.
I think one Ogdo Bogdo.
There's many.
I think there's got to be more than one.
Oh, okay.
I found two Rancors. There's got to be an Ogdo Bogdo.
Like two Rancors that you fight at once?
No.
Oh, okay.
A Rancor in different places.
Oh, I've only seen one. That's cool. Anyway, good game. And I'm going to play Starfield, I think. So I'm like trying to finish this so that I can play another big game that'll take me forever to finish.
What are we going to read next week?
Anyway, what are we going to read next week?
We are going to read Wanted.
Wanted.
By Mark Miller.
Yeah.
And I don't remember.
I think we read a book by him recently. By J.G. Jones.
Oh, yeah. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. He did Captain Atom in the New 52. And I really like that. And I think we should still... read it at some point. It's good. I'll make you read it for my birthday. Anyway, yeah, Wanted.
I already figured out the
next installment of movies that people didn't know originated as comics.
Yeah. And another piece in the big game universe.
Yeah, it is an appropriate time to read that book because it's a big game. So,
yeah. Anyway.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Cool. Thanks for watching. You got our link tree in the bio. You can go comment, like, subscribe, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If you got horror books you think we should read, please help.
That would be cool.
Or other movies that are comic adaptations that people didn't know.
Yeah.
Email us at traverspod@gmail.com.
We love themes.
We love themes. If
you have another idea for a themed month we'll never get to.
We should just like stop. Like, doing like any planned out things, just only do theme months.
I'm down for that. I love themes.
Well, I don't even know of more themes.
I don't know. It'll just be
give
like
me one other theme. Manga month.
No.
Manga May.
We could do like a series where like a girl is like a serial killer, you know, something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, just different themes. Anyway. Give me ideas for themes.
Ed Brubaker month.
Ed Brubaker month.
Just like a creator spotlight month.
Yeah. We're like dynamic.
You can do that forever.
Dynamic duos. Like famous dynamic duos in comics. You just do four.
It's probably not that many of those.
Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, Tom King, Mitch Gerrits.
Name a third.
Kieran Gillen, Damon McKelvey.
We've read all of them already.
Mark Waid, Dan Mora.
There's only... Okay, fair. Or no, Mark Waid, Chris Samnee.
Grant Morrison, Quietly.
We've read all of these before.
There's one more, I think, for Grant.
I think we...
Jeff Johns, Ivan Reis. Green Lantern.
So what, Green Lantern? Yeah.
Yeah. Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo. Just Batman.
Just Batman.
And metal.
Yeah. And we have demons.
Yeah. See? Just three.
Anyway. But it won't happen.
Yeah.
I guess like maybe we'll get to the point where we're just so fucking sick of comic book movies. Like we don't care. Or maybe like we just like get to a point.
I'm getting there, dude. If Ahsoka doesn't get any better, I'm not watching any more Star Wars.
Really? No more Star Wars. What about Andor season 2?
Got to finish Andor season 1.
Did you even start Andor season 1?
Yeah. I slept through 2 episodes.
that's not watching it.
Yeah, I know. People say it's really good.
It's very good. So, did you watch Bulletproof Monk?
No, I didn't.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Dang. They talked about it in the Weekly Planet this week. And I was
and I was like, how weird, right?
I was like, wait a fucking minute.
Yeah.
Other people know about this movie?
I know. And I'm like, fuck, should watch it.
He learns karate through YouTube videos or whatever? Or like...
I wish I watched that movie.
You should come over. We'll watch it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's a good idea. Anyway, bye.
So fucking hate it. All right, bye.